This is the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast, where we have conversations with everyday martial artists about their histories and how martial arts influence their daily lives. You are listening to the abbreviated version of this podcast, which is the first 20 minutes or so of the show. Please consider supporting the show by subscribing on our Patreon page, www.patreon.com/MALMAG. And for about the price of one coffee shop coffee per month, you can get access to 4 new podcasts each month, 1 week before their YouTube release dates. You also have access to all of our existing shows, which at this point is about 100 hours of shows for you to enjoy. Individual shows can be purchased at our Gumroad page. That is malmag.gumroad.com. This week I get on Zoom and I connect to Baltimore and I talk with Joey Marana. Joey was one of my early friends at the Inosanto Academy back when he lived in Los Angeles last time. We talk about how he got involved in martial arts, discovering his Filipino roots, about loss, and about making a difference with teaching martial arts. Sit back and enjoy. Welcome to the Martial Arts and Lifestyle Podcast. And today I've got a guest that is probably one of my longest friends from the Inosanto Academy, because he was in the first class that I was taking there, which I would call, like, I mean, for me anyway, the classic Thursday morning class at the current location, which they've been at for 20 years. So Joey Marana, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. I didn't know that I have the privilege of being in your first class.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like when I came there, I watched that class first, and Grudan was teaching it, and I was kind of like, oh wow, teaching this class. I thought any academy with him, you'd kind of work your way up. You know? So I was actually kind of pleasantly surprised to see that it was a class that was basically mixed levels. I wasn't a beginner, but I knew they didn't know that. And I, you know, started to pop my way in or whatever. And so it wasn't really like that at all, which was cool. And then the way it worked was you could watch one, then you could take one. So I came back the next Thursday and Guru was actually gone. And our dear departed friend, Victor Grigiano, was actually teaching that class. So he taught the first class that I was in the academy, and he spotted immediately that I was not a beginner. So I think that's where he and I hit it off, like right off the bat. And you were like one of the first people I remember being in that class. You know, I couldn't remember specifically whether you were in the very first class that I was in, but that was the one that I went to a lot, and you were one of the regulars in that class that I remember seeing. And I mean, that was a pretty all-star cast now that we think about it.
Yeah, absolutely. There was it was smaller back then, the Thursday morning one. And there's definitely some recognizable names and faces there.
Yeah. I mean, there was like Steve Tarani was in there, and then that's right. Then there was the other Sayoc guy. From like down south, little Travis. Is that his name, Travis?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, he was in there. He was really good. And then like Willie Laureano and Keith Davis and Damon Caro and pretty awesome class.
Yeah, it was great.
Indeed. So it's like, you know, a Thursday pack of cool guys. To the East Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, shoot, man. I guess we should start like all with the superhero origin story. When did you get involved in martial arts and how and why?
Oh, formally, when I was probably about 14 or 15, but before that, I had a real good family friend who was really into Kung Fu. And here in Baltimore, there's a style that's really at least at the time, was more prominent, called Tian Chen Pai. And so, in sort of like our family gatherings, like we all knew that his name is, well, he, Sifu Chris Bankson. We always knew that he was very involved with Kung Fu, and as a young man also, he was involved with testing it outside of the class. And so I always had some kind of exposure to that. But then when I was about 14 or 15, there was a family that opened up their second school, and it was pretty close to where I lived. And that family is the Pataling-huk family, which is a well-known Filipino family name here in the Baltimore area. And that school was called Karate International. And so my brothers were really interested in learning karate. And so I sort of reluctantly went, and it wasn't karate, it was taekwondo. But then they also taught, but I
Or
understand. There's
karate
a,
back
yeah.
then, right? Korean karate.
Yes. Well, in the 80s, there's this very successful chain of karate schools, taekwondo schools, called Kim's Karate, that was in the area. And so I think it was probably, and those, some of those instructors came from Kim's Karate. So he was probably utilizing some of the marketing terminology. So anyway, I started with that school. And I remember seeing, because they would also offer Eskrima classes, Dos de Pares classes. And as a 14 or 15-year-old, I didn't really know what to make of it. So I was interested in punching and kicking, and I loved watching 80s martial arts movies with Jackie Chan and Van Damme. And so I don't know, I just wanted it. I was more interested in the punching and kicking. But at some point, I did get into the Eskrima. But that wasn't until right around the time when I tested for my black belt in Taekwondo. So right around 1998 or something. And then, so the Pataling-huk family and Dos de Pares Eskrima was my first formal intro into Filipino martial arts. And then, let's see, I was in college at the time, very much into it. I found Mark Wiley's book, very influenced by that. And then, it wasn't until about 2002 or 2003 I came across the Sayok website, and then I found an instructor around here. So his name is Guru Bob Shin, and I trained that for about a year until my wife and I got married, and then we moved out to California, and then I started the Inosano Academy. So, and really, I just wanted to go down and meet Guru Dan because he was someone I looked up to for so long. I read about him in magazines, and I wasn't connected, or maybe I didn't have the interest or enthusiasm. I, for whatever reason, the idea of seminars or going to see him if he was doing a seminar, it never came up on my radar. I never knew about it. I didn't research. I didn't look it up in magazines. I don't know why. I just it just never came up. So when we got to California, it was one of the very first things I did. I just really wanted to meet Guru Dan. And so I went down to the Manchester Academy, and I was just hoping that he was going to appear, because I must have seen that he teaches a Thursday morning class. And when he came out of his car, I just came up like a stalker and said, Guru, I'm a big fan. I just wanted to meet you. And then he asked if I was going to come in and take the class, and then I think I probably told you, and Atticus was my first training partner in that class, and so that's how it all got started. And then so I was at the academy, and shortly after, when we moved to Los Angeles too, I was connected with some Sayok instructors out there, including Guru Travis.
Joey, let me pause you for a second because
Yes,
I think
sir.
the audience needs to know the visual. Now, they may have heard Atticus's podcast, so they may be familiar with who he is. But Joey, you're how tall?
I'm about 5'5".
So 5'5". So Atticus is like 6'3", and at that time, Atticus was also probably 350 pounds
Yes.
of large guy. So
Yeah.
Just giving everyone the visual of your trading partner.
Yeah, I think I remember, so what's interesting is I haven't thought about this in so long. So, and it, with no judgment or anything, in Dosipar is especially because the system that the school that I came from is a tremendously successful WECAF, a competition school.
Oh, yeah.
And so a lot of twirling and really fancy motions and movements, and our sticks are thinner.
Right.
And I
Where
remember,
we're going here.
yeah, Atticus must have had like sticks that were like, I don't know, like 2 inches in diameter. It looked like that and it felt like that. And I do remember feeling like he's going to knock my stick. He might have knocked at least one of my sticks out of my hand. And he was very nice. He wasn't trying to be, he wasn't trying to do that. It's just that he was
He's a
a
big
huge
guy, a
man
lot of power.
with a lot of power. Yes. And so, yeah, that's, and I remember him, just being inquisitive and asking if I had done some martial arts before. And so I told him Dosipar is, and I remember him saying, well, once you experience, he didn't say a blended system. He said like once you experience like something like multiple systems, or once you're exposed to different things, you won't want to go back or something like that. And I remember feeling like, is that it was hard for me to accept that, because I was so much into this is my system and this is my style and this is what I do. And I didn't go there initially to learn the academy material. But sure enough, I don't know when. And I don't know why I thought that either, because I was already training in Sayokali. And then I picked up in the first year or two that I was in in Los Angeles, I picked up Atienza Kali, and also I didn't stay with the Grandmaster Juni style of Dosipars. I quickly started to learn a San Miguel style under Ramon Rubia.
Okay.
So I learned quite a lot of different things in the very beginning. But yeah, I had a very memorable start at the academy. And I love that Manchester Academy, but it's just such a great intro into my martial arts life in Southern California.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And it's funny because I know what you're talking about, where you're like, okay, this is my style, this is. Because I think there's a way that even if you're doing a couple things, you probably were thinking, because I thought the same way early on too, or like, okay, this is my stick system. And then you went Sayok, this is my knife
Yes.
system, my taekwondo, that's my empty hand thing.
Yes.
So there's still separate gears almost.
Yeah.
And then what Atticus was doing was sort of trying to eliminate you to a different way of looking at it, where it's like it's all the same, it
Yeah.
all works together, and then you can still do a style when you go out there if you want to help preserve that and promote that, but then you're also free to move how you move
Yeah.
with together.
Yes. Well, it's certainly, I've had a few different types of careers, occupation, professions. And my first like career was in higher education. So I used to work at Loyola Marymount and different colleges and universities, but in student development theory, in learning theory, everyone starts in a very dualistic kind of thought process. I want to know what the right answer is from the right person, from the authority. So, who is the teacher or the principal or the police officer? You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
you want to find like the authority who can give you the answer. And so I think that's a natural thing. And we go through that process multiple times in our life, but some people never really get out of that. But the goal is to accept that there can be multiple right answers from multiple authorities. And I think that's a natural maturity But with that being said, not everyone can do that all the
Oh,
time.
well,
So.
it's true. I mean, hopefully people do, but at different stages, some people will get there younger than others, and that's really a product of a lot of things, I would assume. Your environment, how you've been taught, and then your experience, good or bad, getting you there, and then how
Yeah.
you've learned from the experience. Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. Yeah. So I started at the academy, and then shortly after that, at the PSYOP school with Guru Travis and Guru Joey Pena, they started to bring out the Atienza system. So I was doing that too, and I was training with Guru Ramon Rubia in San Miguel. And it was wonderful. I learned a lot of things. I went to some seminars. I met a lot of people. It was really an incredible time. And then through the years, I had different exposures, but now primarily I'm just a student of the Inosanto system. Although when we moved back to Maryland, which was so we lived in California for about almost 10 years, and then we've been in Maryland, been back in Maryland for about 12. When I first moved back to Maryland, I went back to my Dosey Para school, and it's not quite this dramatic, but similar to Luke, I tried to complete my training in Dosey Para. And so it was always kind of a bucket list thing. I have great respect to my teachers in Dosey Paras. And so, and an interesting fact is that family, the Puttalinghook family, when they were younger, when they were kids, they were students of Chris Sayoc when he was teaching Paquita Tertia. And the local school around here was run by this gentleman named Master Fred, who I met, but I was never a student of his. And but one of his students was Pat Finley, Guru Pat Finley.
Oh my gosh.
And so there's all these like connections that happened later on that it was just so fascinating and interesting. So.
Exactly. That's funny you bring him up. I was just chatting with him, gosh, yesterday. I had to ask him for an email for Saya Win Ziyu, the Letway teacher, because it was just his birthday. And so the kids and I made a little video to send him. But yeah, Pat,
That's
I
great.
talked to him quite frequently. I like him because he's an egghead intellectual, like me. So
Yes.
I like talking to him.
Yeah. Plus, he's very funny. But he's become a very important, like mentor and role model for me.
Yeah,
So,
yeah.
I have just so much respect for Paul.
Yeah, exactly. That's cool. And I like that you kind of went back, to the roots there as well, because I started like in Shorinri karate, and it's kind of funny. It's been probably 30 years since I've done that art, but my first karate teacher now lives in Phoenix, which is not far from here, and I talked to him, reconnected, and it's great. Hopefully we'll get him on here sometime because a great story with him. But I'm like, man, I need to put that gi on and go back and, I spent 10 years doing this art. Like, don't abandon it. It's part of your roots, So it's just
Yeah.
like you start, I think as we get older, sometimes you start to learn to have affection again for those things that were your roots,
Yeah, I think so. And we have such a wonderful model for that in Guru Inosanto, who is just so his thirst for martial arts and his passion is just limitless. And so it's just so amazing to see, and most recently at the instructor camp, he was talking about how his age when he started, different arts, and it's just a constant inspiration that he's willing to start all over, and not even start all over, but just learn new things and put his ego aside. Although I feel like I've never, it's hard for me to imagine that he would ever, that the ego, that Guru's ego would ever interfere. So I feel like it's always off the side.
I think we've all known the older, wiser guru, because there was a laugh about that. I'm trying to think who he was talking to. And it was class. I think it was actually a Thursday morning class. He was talking about the younger, cockier Bruce Lee. And there was a funny story. And then he said something else. And it was someone that's, you know, very senior, very close to. And they said, was that the younger, cockier Dan Inosanto? And we all got a laugh from it, because it's like, okay, if that's an example of guru's ego, yeah, probably compared to the way he is, you're like, but that's like where the rest of us would like to be. that might be cocky for him, I guess. But it was kind of funny. And I wish I could remember who said it in the story. I will at some point. You watch me. It'll be 3 o'clock in the morning. I'll remember it, and I better get up and record it or something. But it was a funny little story. But I understand. And it's, you know, what's funny with him is he seems to do that almost opposite thing. Like, he gets into and explores things as he gets older that you should do normally when you're younger. He's like, oh, I'm 70, let me try capoeira.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm 60, let me get into Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Now he's 88. He's like, let me rediscover savate. Because you can see that's what, like, heavy into savate again.
Yeah.
Right? Because a lot of that now. And it's just like, it's charming, to say the least, but it's, you know, it's a hell of a lesson for the rest of us.
Yeah, I mean, just in so many ways. And I think that's one of the things I miss about being one of the local LA students, the frequency of times I would get to, you know, just spend time with Gro and hear his stories and ways that he can convey information and knowledge. But I'm still grateful for the times that I'm able to go back and for him to still do seminars and everything. So I was talking about it last night with my brother, because he was talking about, my brother is, he used to be a religion teacher, and now he's a principal at a Jesuit high school in Baltimore, a well-known Jesuit high school. And he was just talking about how he was trying to find examples to talk about things and teach things to kids. And he gave some example, and I said, well, that's a very, you know, those stories and use of parables and stuff, that's a very Christian thing. And then he looked at me and he's like, well, it's also a very much a Guru Dan thing. And I was like, that's right. You know, it's just the ability to relate and connect in a relevant.
And this concludes the abbreviated version of the podcast. Please consider supporting the program by going to www.patreon.com/MALMAG and subscribing to the show. You can also purchase this individual episode or any individual episode at our Gumroad page. That's MALMAG.gumroad.com. Thank you for listening to this episode with Joey Marana. Coming up next week, I connect to Michigan and I talk to martial arts Midwest legend David Hatch. Our MalMag online store at martialartslifestylemagazine.com has a full selection of Timmy B's brand sticks for FMA and Krabiker Bong. Timmy B's brand now selling in Japan as well. Beautiful Timmy B's brand shirts and Dos Manos shirts are available, with new t-shirt designs and more products coming soon. An online course in the Dos Manos method for FMA is available under the Courses tab. More courses coming soon. Check out the Places to Train tab to find schools near you, and click on the Events calendar page to see what seminars and events are happening all around the world. And of course, visit our main page for articles on the martial arts. Music by Jack L. Relic. Martial Arts Lifestyle Magazine and the Martial Arts Lifestyle Podcast are trademarked and copyrighted by TNT LLC.